Or rather, chapter 5, Mark's Gospel, chapter 5. We have in this chapter something for little children, middle age, and one something for older ones too. We have the goodness of God manifested two or three persons in this chapter, and the Lord Jesus, the one who alone could heal and set free the captives of sin. And so I'll read chapter 5 of Mark's Gospel. And they came over, that's Jesus and his disciples, unto the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs. And no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice, and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding, and all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000, and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled, and told it in the city, and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus, and see him that was possessed with the devil, and had the legion sitting and clothed, and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerned the swine, and they began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friend, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. And all men did marvel. And when Jesus was passed over again by the ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him. And he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him, and thronged him. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway The fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus immediately, knowing in himself the virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press, and said, Who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him, and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace, and be whole of thy plague. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue's house, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel, and them that were with him, and entereth in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand, and said unto her, Talitha kumi, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel rose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with a great astonishment. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. Well, it's a lovely chapter. And as we think of these three in this chapter, they represent the whole human race. And so how lovely of the Lord Jesus. He knew all about this dear man who dwelled in the tombs. He had these unclear spirits within him. And you know the people, why he was a wild man. They put chains on him. But you know the power of Satan was so great that those chains were burst asunder. And always he went about crying there amongst the tombs. Would you like to meet a man like that? Well, I tell you, it's just a picture of each one of us here except for God's grace. We could be like that. Oh, yes, sin is an awful thing, beloved. And you know, it tells us in Job, is it 24 and 22, it says, No man is sure of life. No man. And there isn't anyone in this company tonight that is sure that they'll be here tomorrow. We don't know. And so how important it is to take heed to the prophet Amos, who could say in chapter 4:12, Prepare to meet thy God. And so, dear friends, it's so important to prepare to meet God. You know, some of us, when we decided to come here to Des Moines, we prepared. And so we wrote and told our brethren that we hope, Lord willing, to be here. And so they prepared lodging for us. And we've all experienced today how they prepared for our temporal needs too, for our bodies. And I'm thankful for the spiritual food we have received too. And so this is a gospel meeting. And you know, the gospel finds a man guilty and brings pardon. Isn't that nice? It brings pardon. And the gospel finds a man lost and brings salvation. And so salvation is free. And it finds him helpless and brings a new life. And so how important it is to be born again, to have the Lord Jesus as our Savior. Well, this man, here he was. He was bound with these fetters. And you know, such was his strength, satanic, that he could break these fetters in pieces. But I want to say tonight, dear friends, if you're not saved, that you are holding with the cords of your sins. Proverbs chapter 5 tells us man is holding with the cords of his sins. I believe it's verse 33. Many years ago, and talking to children in our home, where we had a Sunday school every Lord's Day afternoon, I felt led to speak on this about man being holden with the cords of his sins. And I wanted to just illustrate really what it meant. And so I took my oldest boy, who was perhaps about 10, and I took some black cotton thread, and I wrapped some cords of thread around his arms and his body. And then I said, can you break those cords? And of course the children cheered him on, and he struggled, and he broke them. Yes, there were only just a few. But then I kept on winding those cords around him, winding them around. Because you know, one sin, if you commit one sin, it doesn't stop there. One sin leads to another. And that's how Satan deceives men and women. Oh, you can give up that habit, but just continue a little longer and enjoy yourself. Well, I say there's no pleasure in sin. And so we wrapped a few more cords around my son, and he struggled. He got red in the face, but he could not break those cords. No matter how hard he tried, he couldn't break those cords. What did he need? He needed someone else to set him free. And we did that. We set him free just by using a pair of scissors, which was easy to cut those cords. But my friend, if you're holding with the cords your sins, there's only one power that can set you free. But first of all, you must be willing to be set free. And I challenge those here in this company tonight who are not saved, are you willing to let the Lord Jesus set you free? Oh, this man here he was in the tombs. And you know, the Lord Jesus, he had the power to heal him as well as the love willing to heal him. But I want to illustrate, sin isolates people. And my friends, if you continue in your sins, the Lord Jesus says, where I am, you cannot come. And there is an eternity. And if you spend eternity in a lost eternity, I want to say, you're not going to enjoy company and fellowship. It won't be there. No, there's only wailing and gnashing of teeth there. In that place that God's prepared for those who reject his son. And so, we see this man, he's always crying day and night. In the tombs, crying, cut himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, oh, what did he do? He ran and worshiped him. Oh, that man realized he was in the presence of the Lord. And you know, the Lord, he had already said to Satan to come out of him. And that man was set free. But you know, those demons wanted to enter into the swine. Well, there were many, many hundreds of swine there. And the Lord gave them permission to enter the swine. And they ran down the cliff, deep incline, into the sea and were choked. I have a wonder about that. But you know, God's people were not to have swine. They were not to eat swine. No. Under law, the Jews could not eat that with God's permission. It's an unclean animal. Well, we're not under law today, and I'm thankful because I do enjoy my bacon when I have breakfast. We're not under law, we're under grace. Man under law failed. He failed completely. And I say, if there's any here in this company trying to earn your salvation by doing the best you can, keeping the law, I want to say you can't do it. God tried man under the law and he failed utterly. The very day they asked for the law, they broke it. Before Moses got back down amongst the people with the law, those tables of stone, They were worshiping idols, going on in wickedness. And so what did Moses do? Did he enter into there with the law? No, he threw them down and broke it. If he'd have gone in there with those tables of stone, those people would come under the judgment of God. And God allowed those tables of stones to be broken. And you, my friend, can break the law, just like the children of Israel. And you need a Savior. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, here in our story, we find that the Lord cast out these demons and the air of the swine, and they were choked in the sea. Now, what about this man? It says, and we're going down this chapter, verse 18. Let's notice the people, and verse 16. And they that saw it told them how it befell to them that was possessed with the devil, and also concerned the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. Now, isn't this awful? Here the people who lived in that general area with danger living there with such a wild man, they would sooner have that man there and their sins than the Lord Jesus. And they asked the Lord to depart. Depart. Oh, I hope no one here asked the Lord to depart from them. And so, sin isolates. This man dwelt alone. And these people who asked the Lord to depart were blinded by sin. They sooner have their sins than the Lord. Now we notice in verse 18, the Lord is going to go to the other side. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devils prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit he had suffered not, but said, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. Well, this is something for each one in this room who's not saved. I hope that tonight, if you're not saved, you'll accept the Lord and go home and tell your friends what the Lord had done for you. Oh, I want to say there is a special joy when you confess the Lord. I'll never forget the day I got a letter from my little girl. She couldn't write, but she could print. And she was away on holidays with her mother and brothers, and I was back in the city working. And I got this letter. It brought joy to my heart. Would you like me to tell you what that letter said? Dear Daddy. Nice way to begin a letter. Dear Daddy, today I'm saved. We were told in Sunday school that the Lord may come today. And if we're not ready, we better get ready today or we'd be left behind. And so, she confessed the Lord. She's saved. Well, that made me happy. If you ever come to my home, you ask to see that letter, and I'll show it to you. I have it hanging up, I framed it, and it's there in my study. Oh, I treasure that letter. A little girl. Now she's the mother of five children growing up. And so how precious to confess the Lord. You'll never know the joy till you do confess. And it may be the means of somebody else getting saved. So well, we'll go on in our story. The Lord told this man to go home and tell how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. Maybe I shouldn't tell you this, but many years ago, I was in Pella. And I was on my way to California to get to the conference. Had never been to California. And now I visited, been at Des Moines for the conference, been at Pella and Sully. And the next morning, I was to leave for California to get there in time. But you know, I just felt a little something uneasy about going. And when Leo said, I'll see you in California, I said, maybe you won't. I'm a little exercised. And unknown to me, Leah told the brethren and Sully, and they prayed for me, I might have the Lord's mind. Well, I was glad of that. Well, that night I woke up during the night, And I had this verse come to my memory. The Lord just seemed like the Lord was saying, go home to thy friends and tell them what the Lord has done for you. But I want to go to California. So I went to sleep. The second time I woke up, and again the same verse that the Lord told this man, go home to thy friends and tell them what the Lord has done for thee. But I wanted to go to California. So I went to sleep the third time. The third time I woke up, and the third time the same verse came forth to me, go home. You know what I thought of? Two in Scripture is testimony, and three is abundant testimony. And I said, Lord, I'll go home. Well, you know, that was one of the happiest times of my life. Because as I went home, the Lord didn't say, get home tomorrow or next week. He says, go home. So instead of going west, we went east. And all the little assemblies that we visited brought joy to my heart. And when I got home, then I found out why the Lord was sending me home. Yes? You know, we need to obey the Lord when He speaks to us. And if we don't obey, we're going to suffer results. And so when I got home, I found out the Lord was speaking to my son Robert. He had been home 1 year from Hong Kong, and He was telling him to go back. And if I had gone to California, I wouldn't have seen him for another 2 years. I had a happy 2 weeks with my son. Oh, God makes no mistakes. And when He speaks to us, let's take heed. Now I'm speaking to those who are saved. But oh, for those who are not saved, oh, I want to tell you, the heart and love of God wants you to be saved too. He wants you as one of His children. And if you're one of His children, then you can pray. And you can ask for God's blessings on your life and for guidance too. And so this man was told to go home. And so he was obedient. In verse 20, he departed and began to publish in the Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. Now if we go down on the story a little bit, we come to this woman. But in verse 22, we have a ruler named Jairus. He met him and he fell at his feet. In verse 23, he begged him, he besought him greatly, my little daughter lies at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, and she may be healed, and she shall live. That's faith. Oh, yes, that's faith. Come and lay your hands, and she shall be healed. There was faith. And dear friends, without faith, it's impossible to please God. No, I like Romans 5, verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And you won't get it any other way than through Him. And so this man, he besought the Lord to come to his house, lay his hands on her, and Jesus went with him. Now he's on his way to this man's house, but there's a woman there that has a need too. And this woman, you know, she has spent all her money on physicians, and she had this disease for 12 years. And I think that was the time that little girl was born. Yes, she had that dreadful disease all those years. And she said to herself, if I can just touch his garment, I'll be healed. That's faith. And so she bent down and touched the hem of his garment, and immediately she felt in herself that she was healed of that disease. Isn't that wonderful? And now, you know, the Lord knew all about that woman. And he said, he turned around, who touched me? Oh, the disciple said, Lord, you see all the multitude around you? You're saying, who touched you? Why, a lot of people are touching you. Yes, but not with the hand of faith. No, not with the hand of faith. The Lord knew about that woman. She had a need, and He was the only one that could meet that need. She came to the right person. And oh, dear friends, if you haven't come, come to Jesus. He's waiting so patiently for you to trust Him. I remember a dear old man in Newfoundland. That dear old man, the Lord waited for 92 years. He was 92 years old when the Lord took him. And when he was 70, I entered that house. And as I opened the door and walked in, I said, "Can I read the Bible to you?" He said, "Yes." He invited me to sit down. And I said, "Are you saved?" He said, "No, but I want to be. But I'm too bad a sinner." Oh, dear friends, there's none too bad for the Lord Jesus. I like what Paul says to Timothy. "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." Yes, yeah, sinners. Not good people, sinners. That dear man, 92 years, I don't know how many times, every time I went to that village, I called on that old man. And so the years passed away. He's 92. And he got an infection. They amputated one leg. And they told him they're going to have to take the other leg off to save his life. And now he realized the end is near. And right in his bed, he cried out, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." He accepted the Lord, and he was saved. And I was told, when the nurses came in, first words, "Nurse, I'm saved." When the doctor came in, "Doctor, I'm saved." Everyone in that whole surrounding villages all knew that dear old man, a reputation of a wicked old man, was saved by the grace of God. Oh, yes, it is a faithful saying, beloved ones. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And if you take that place, why, you'll find you have a Savior who is willing to save you. Well, this woman, she did touch the hem of his garment, and also she was healed. But the Lord says, "Who touched me?" And now, why did the Lord want her to tell who touched him? I wanted to say, if she hadn't told him, she had lost a blessing. And I say, if there's one here tonight that accepts the Lord, you're saving, you don't tell anybody, you're going to lose a blessing till you do confess with your lips the Lord Jesus. Oh, the first verse I ever remember memorizing is John 3:16. And the next verse was Romans 10:9. Do you know that verse? I'm sure you do. "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart, God is raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved." Isn't that lovely? "Whosoever believeth on him shall be saved." And so accept the words of the Lord Jesus. And so here the Lord Jesus said to her, "Who touched me?" And she came and told him all the truth. Yes, she told him all the truth. Oh, there are no doubt things in her life. Nobody else knew about it, perhaps. Perhaps they did. But she told the Lord Jesus. Oh, my friend, that's the one to go to. Not to your best friend, but to go to the Lord Jesus yourself. And so she came trembling and fell down before him and told him all the truth. She didn't hold anything back. She told him all the truth. And now she hears from his lips those precious words, "Daughter, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." Told the Lord the truth. She wouldn't have peace. She wouldn't have peace. Oh, yes, she'd be healed of that disease, because she had faith. But you would never have heard those lovely words, "Daughter, daughter, go in peace. Behold thy plague." Well, now, we wonder maybe about this ruler of the synagogue's house. Time is going by, and there's his little daughter, very sick. She's dying. And now, there comes people from his household, and they said, "Your daughter is dead. Pretty hard news to take, isn't it? Here's the Lord, the one that can heal, stop her from dying. Now he's delayed, and his daughter has died. What happens? Oh, the Lord encourages him. He says to him, "Be not afraid. Be not afraid." I like those words, "be not afraid." Only believe. Only believe. And he suffered no man to go in, save Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. And he came into the house of the ruler of the synagogue and seeth the tomb out and them that wept. Yes, there's a lot of wailing going on there in that home. A lot of wailing. But the Lord Jesus put them all out. Oh, yes, he put them out. And they laughed him to scorn. They said, "She's dead." But he says, "She sleeps." And so, you know, when a Christian dies, we don't think of them dead. We just think of them as asleep in Jesus. Asleep in Jesus. Well, this little girl was sleeping. But in the eyes of the others, she was dead. Naturally, she was dead. And so he put them all out, and they laughed him to scorn. But notice verse 41, and this is so precious. He took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, "Talitha kuma," which is being interpreted, "Master, I say unto thee, arise." "Damsel, I say unto thee, arise." Oh, do you think a little girl rose? Ah, yes. But he took her by the hand. How nice to have the Lord hold your hand. And so the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And so there we have that dear woman with that incurable disease for 12 years. She spent all her money, but to no avail. Oh, I want to tell you, friends, salvation cannot be bought by you and I. Salvation is a gift. And I want to say this. If there's one in this company that refuses God's gift, I have no guarantee that you'll have another opportunity. No guarantee. No guarantee. I think of some boys in Nova Scotia, where Brother Norman Berry had a gospel tent and big gospel verses, and I was there helping them. And there was a car went by, some young men, and they were laughing and mocking at the gospel text. Oh no, they weren't going to come into that meeting. And so they went tearing down the road. I'll tell you what happened. They didn't get very far. They hit a culvert and were killed instantly. When the police got there, two were dead, and the other one had seemed to have a little life. And the policeman picked him up in his arms, and he uttered three words: "Gone. Gone. Gone." And he was gone. Oh, I say, it's a solemn thing to mock the gospel. A solemn thing to reject the gift of God that cost him, beloved friends, his own dear son. And as we think of Calvary's cross, my friends, if you can read that story of the Savior's love for you and not have your heart touched, I can only say this, that you have allowed sin to harden your heart. Sin will do that. And so here, we find that the Lord healed this little girl. Now there's something else I like about this. He charged them, they tell no man, but he commanded the parents to give her something to eat. Something to eat. And I say this, that brings before some of us who are saved a responsibility when someone confesses the Lord to give them some food. I don't mean the kind of food we had downstairs, but I mean the Word of God. The Word of God is food for your souls. And I say this, if I didn't eat my natural food, I wouldn't have strength. And I say this, if I neglect this book, I'm not going to have any spiritual strength to confess my Savior's name. Oh, I say He's worthy. He's worthy of our all. And so, this is a faithful saying, word of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Oh, that's a precious verse. How about it? Are you going to accept God's gift? I want to tell you what Romans 6 and 23 says. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Remember, a gift is only a gift when you accept it. And I challenge each one tonight, I ask you, will you accept Christ as your Savior? If you haven't done so, will you do it tonight? Oh, I say this then, there's something else you can do. The apostle says, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Thanks be unto God. Have you ever thanked God for the Lord Jesus? I'll tell you this much, if you love Him, that's the best way to begin a day. Reading His words and praying and thanking God for the Lord Jesus. But don't stop once. You know, we eat three times a day. And I say we need this word three times a day too. Oh, you can read it as much as you want. But don't neglect to read it. And thank God for the Lord Jesus. He's so precious. And your soul is so precious to Him. Friend, He wants you to be with Him in the Father's house. And so will you come tonight. Now we sing in closing number 2 on the hymn sheet. Come to Jesus gently calling, ye with care and toil oppressed, with your guilt howe'er appalling, come and I will give you rest. For your sin He once has suffered, on the cross the work was done, and the word by God now uttered to each weary soul is come. I love that word come. And I say this, it's a very important word. And if you've heard the Lord say, come, oh, I can say you better come. You better come.